Good morning. Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We praise God that that veil is rent in two. Great significance to the fact of Christ doing the finished work that we can enter now into the holiest of holies, that we can go through Christ to God the Father. What a freedom. Our sermon text for this third Sunday of Easter will be taken from the Acts of the Apostles. We're going to read from chapter 12. We're going to read verses 1 through 17. And you can remain seated as this is not a gospel text. Chapter 12, verse 1. Continuing in Christ's name. Now about the time Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of the unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison, delivered him to four quadrants of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in the prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, Gird thyself, bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, Cast thy garment about thee, and follow me. And he went out, and he followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. And when they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto an iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out, and passed through this on one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And Peter was to come to himself. He said, Now I know of surety that the Lord hath sent his angel, and delivered me out of the hands of Herod, and from all that were expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came, hearkened, named Rhoda. And when she saw knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. They said unto her, Thou art mad, but consistently affirmed that it was even so, and they said unto her, It was his angel. But Peter continued knocking, and when they opened the door, they saw him and were astonished. He beckoned unto them with his hand to hold their peace, and declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison, and he said, Go and show these things unto James and the brethren. And he departed and went to another place. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this is your word that is before us. We praise and we thank you for this word. It's an encouragement. We pray, Father, that you would encourage us in and through this word, and that you would, Father, sanctify us in the truth, because we know, without a doubt, your word is truth. We ask this all in Christ's name. Amen. This, to me, is an astonishing story. It really actually has a lot of different parts to it. It deals with a lot of different people. And the reason I say this is because you have Herod, who wants to please people. He wants to bring happiness to the Jews so that he can continue to be their great king. We have the Jews who want this Christianity to be stopped in its tracks. We have Peter, who continues to preach on. We have the church that continues to lift up before God those that are serving. We have a great combination of different events, different people. And God keeps great orchestra of all of this. He keeps it all in line. And I think we can find that there's many different lessons for us, even in a text like this. Oftentimes in life, we feel like there's so many against us. Often we feel like we wonder, or at least we can wonder, if there's any advantage to prayer. Does it actually work? Does God hear? Maybe you don't have those issues. If you don't, praise God for that. There's no doubt about it. But being human, I often can have this tendency. Now Herod, he started to actually persecute the church. And this brought a lot of pleasure to those strict Jews. Those that saw Jesus as a heretic. Those that brought Jesus to Pontius Pilate to be crucified. Then you have this great quandary of how Jesus' body now is gone. What does that mean to the unbelieving world? How can we explain this? How can we now come up with an answer that can appease even our people? So Herod starts to take the attention away by entering out there now and persecuting. And so now he gets one of Zebedee's sons, James. This is not Jesus' brother. That's at the tail of the text. And he actually turns around and he catches him and he kills him. He was martyred. This really does have an effectual work within the church. But not necessarily, I mean, obviously it's negative. But something can come from this. Prayer. People start to realize that this is not a game. That this is serious. Not only after the crucifixion of Christ, but now as the church, and that's what the Acts of the Apostles is. It's the church moving forward into this world. It's with the dispersion that they would spread out. It is about the Word of God now being effectual in all kinds of places, even unto Gentile nations. But this is a serious, serious job. Because people are paying for it with their lives. When you talk to missionaries, you'll speak to many different individuals that serve in different parts of this world. Where being a missionary, as they would tell you, there's not pretend Christians in these countries. Because the reality of it is that they will pay oftentimes with all of their belongings. With any credibility to the community around them, they will pay often with their lives. Not many people that don't have a true faith are willing to sign up for that. Herod was persecuting. He killed James, the brother of John, Zebedee's son. And he saw that it pleased the Jews. It was going to bring him some popularity. This was kind of a positive in his category. So he pursued even further. And he took Peter. He took Peter and he put him in prison. And I think it's very interesting because this is around the feast days. This is around the holy time. But he sends out actually four quadrants to go get Peter and to bring him to prison. And this is exactly how it was with Christ. They saw him as a huge threat. And he wasn't messing around. So he sends the full force, if you could say, of the government to go get these individuals. So he goes and he gets Peter. And he intended very much to bring him before the people. But this is not just, hey, let's examine the man. This has the full intention that he was going to actually kill him. Put him to death. Before the people, because he saw how happy they were over his action against what the Israelites believed at this time to be the falseness. Peter was kept in prison. But now, Luke shares with us, as he's the author of Acts, he shares with us, he says, but now prayer was made. The church came together, and they came together to focus on saving Peter. They saw the importance of this. The church came together to pray for him. And this doesn't even just mean in that one household. I believe very strongly when it says the church, it is the body united. The body united. We do the same. At least I pray we do. That when we hear of an issue in a different congregation or wherever it may be, that when it's brought to our attention and we have the understanding of what the issue is, that we can pray together. And you might find in certain areas that all these congregations are praying. It is the church unified, praying for something. They saw the importance of this, and they turn and they make now, without ceasing, a prayer for Peter. That God would save him. Herod would have brought him forth in the same night. And he would have actually brought him forth to be killed. But Peter, where was he? He was in prison. He was stressed out to the max. He was acting like a madman in the prison. He was rattling his chains. He was going nuts. Is that what it says? He had peace. And I think to me that is one of the most awesome parts about this text. There's many great parts. Peter was bound with two chains. He had guards at the door. He had guards right beside him to see the seriousness of what Herod wanted, that he would not escape. But he's sleeping. He's sleeping between the two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door of the prison. And it says very plainly, and look. Look what happens. In the middle of this circumstance, in the middle of this difficulty, the congregations are praying. And this is the interesting part, and I'm not doubting that Peter didn't pray, but at this point it doesn't talk about Peter praying. It talks about the church praying. He's sleeping. He's comforted. Do we understand the seriousness of the prayers of the saints? Do we understand that they go up before the Heavenly Father in golden vials? Do we understand that the prayers of a righteous man availeth much? Do we understand what the Scripture says about prayer? How powerful it is. How serious God takes it. It is amazing. Because the congregations come together and they pray in behalf of Peter. And I believe truly that now Peter is even given comfort in and through this. And he has the ability to sleep. It's not a small task to sleep in prison. It's not like our club bed that we have. We even read in our text that he was pretty much naked. He was almost nude. Why? That's part of the punishment. To be in these cold, damp prisons with hardly anything on, wondering what rat will climb over you, what else will go. It all works on your psyche, it works on your physical. This was not a pleasant place to be. And yet Peter's sleeping while the congregation comes together to pray. The angel of the Lord comes upon him. The light shines and fills that prison. I just love that scenery that's given here. You have this dark, and you picture damp, dismal place, if you say it this way, the pit of the world. And this light shines in. What do we think of when we think of light? We think of hope, new beginnings. We think in reality of God, who is the light of this world, comes shining through in the place that you would least expect it. The light shines into the prison, and he actually has to hit Peter to wake him up. He comes along and he smacks him on the side, and it says he raises him up. He says, get up quickly. Come on, there's no time to waste. It's not that God's in a hurry. It's not that God can't continue to keep this little scene going on for a while. It's not that he's afraid of getting caught. God understands and knows and hears the urgency of the congregation praying in behalf for these people, for Peter. Do you see the importance of God our Father, how He cares for us? You think about it in a logical way. He is God. He could take His time. He does tell Peter, hurry up and get up, but He doesn't say, now let's run for the door. We've got business to take care of. The church is praying. The church has desire. God has purpose for you. And the purpose is not to be bound here. Peter, you are going to live another day. But the reality of it is, Peter will be martyred in the future. But it wasn't his time. God, in reality, has the angel of the Lord wake him up. He says, hurry up, get up. But put on your shoes. Get dressed. Be prepared. It's not grab everything and run for the door. And so then the angel says unto him, gird yourself, bind thy sandals on. So he did. Then he also said, cast on your garment around you. He says, get dressed. It's time to go. Those guards are right there. His chains have fallen off. He gets up, he gets dressed, he puts everything on, he puts on his sandals, put on his outer coat, he's ready to roll. He's still wondering what's up. Peter doesn't even understand what's going on yet. But yet then he follows him out. He actually was wondering in his own mind, am I dreaming this? Have you ever been there? Have you ever had a time in your life when something's going on and you're wondering, is this real? That's what Peter's doing. And I think that goes to the evidence of the fact that Peter was resting in the surety of God, no doubt about it, but he wasn't the one at prayer. It was the prayers of the saints that carried him through this time. Have you been to that point in your life where oftentimes you're even tired, you're worn out, you don't know what else to do, but yet you rest in God. And then you feel the prayers of the saints. That they actually come upon you and they actually hold you up when you have no ability to do anything. I remember one of my good friends many years ago was driving down through Houghton. And he hit some black ice and he wiped out his van and he smashed his head pretty good. He actually was rushed up to the hospital up here and they say if Dr. Lufkin didn't drill some holes in his head, he would have died. He had so much brain bleed. And then he was going through a long recovery process and he told me, he said, what I thought was amazing is so many people were praying for me. He said, I just felt it. And I'm thinking, how do you feel that? I shouldn't have asked that question. I'm like, Lord, how do you feel the prayers of the saints? And that's exactly how he laid it out for me. I just felt the prayers of the saints. They just encouraged me. They just lifted me up. And I was thinking, wow, that's something. Thanks be to God, he's fully functioning, or at least we think he is, fully functioning now. And it wasn't many years later, and I came down with cancer. And I remember there was a time when I was going through chemo. I did not think that I would be able to go on. It sounds dumb, I know, but that's just the way it was. Not a baby act. I'm telling you this for a reason. And I was walking from my chicken coop, because I had chickens at the time, and I was heading to the house with this little basket of eggs. And I remember almost falling apart before God saying, Lord, I don't think I can do this anymore. You just get worn down. I need help. And it was literally like a blanket being wrapped around me, and I felt encouraged and warm. And I had my cell phone in my pocket, and the cell phone went off. I picked it up, and it was a friend from the East Coast. He said, I'm in a Bible study right now. We're praying for you at this moment. God's saints, when they pray, He listens. He encourages. We need to get more into prayer. Jesse needs to be more in prayer. Husbands and wives, we need to pray together. We need to pray together. We need to pray alone. We need to pray with our children. We need not be ashamed to pray. There is power in prayer. The congregation was praying for Peter. He doesn't even really know what's going on, but yet the angel of the Lord comes and tells him, "Get up, we're out of here. Put on your stuff and let's roll." Peter's wondering, "Is this for real? Is this for real? Am I really seeing what's going on here? Or am I having a vision? Am I just dreaming?" And so they passed the first and second ward. They walked through the prison without a hiccup. They came to an iron gate, which means, actually, this is probably a maximum security prison that he was in. There's this iron gate. And so then, now it leads out into the streets. He still doesn't even really know what's going on. And they got to this one street. In other words, put him in the right direction where he needed to go. He needed to go to Mary's house. Peter came to himself. He realized this is real. I'm awake. It's cold out here. This is not a dream. God has delivered me. He says, I know with a surety that the Lord has sent His angel and has delivered me out of the hands of Herod and from the expectation of the people of the Jews. He's delivered me from death. And this is beyond even this earthly death. Peter, Christ Jesus has delivered you from the eternal death. He has brought restoration to you. He has continued to keep you through all this time. And now He has called you one more time, Peter, to go and deliver this message and deliver it to the church who is praying with great expectation. Right? Do we pray with expectation? Yeah. Too many times we have a tendency to pray, and Jesse often even doubts in his prayer. And so now Peter, he now considers this thing. He goes to the house of Mary and John, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, John Mark, right? And they were gathered together. What were they doing at that moment? They were praying. Heavenly Father, please, please deliver Peter. We know You have purpose. We know the kingdom is being built. We know He has a great message. We know He has a testimony. Please deliver him. Tell that stranger to go away. Who is that? Are we so heavenly minded at times we become no earthly good? That we lose sight of the fact that God is there and God is answering prayer and He continues to answer prayer? The Scripture says when you pray, pray believing. And they're praying. They were all gathered together praying. Peter knocked at the door. Who could be disturbing our Bible study? What is going on? Someone go knock, answer the door. It's going to get better, I promise. Someone go answer the door. So Rhoda, she goes to answer the door. And when she knew Peter's voice, she didn't even open the door. She got so excited. She got so happy. She ran out. She was happy. Can you believe it? Peter's on the other side of that door. We've been sitting in here praying and praying and praying, and he's out there. And she runs off. She's got excitement in her heart. And so she didn't open the door. She runs out, and she went and told everybody that Peter was actually standing out at the door. You think the first question would be like, why didn't you open it? They didn't believe it. Do we pray with expectation? They said unto her, "You're crazy. You're insane." But she continually affirmed that it was even so. And they said, they were very positive here. What they're really saying is, "He's dead." Oh, this means he's dead. Jesse has a tendency to be negative. A lot of people may think that I'm positive. My wife keeps me positive. But they were looking into this in a very, very negative way. Well, If Peter's there, then it has to be his ghost. Because there's no way that we could ever get him out of Herod's grip. He was in a maximum security prison, deep in the heart of it, bound with two chains and bound to other soldiers. There was two guards at the door. This is too big for God. Now, obviously, I'm coloring this, but have we felt that way? Struggles are too big for God. The one who has created everything out of nothing can make anything to take place. Do we remember that? We teach it in confirmation when we turn around and we say, how can our sacraments do such great works? And Luther says very boldly, the one who has created everything out of nothing can do such great things. Do we forget that? He is the God of the valley, and He is the God of the mountaintops. He's the God in our good times, and He's the God of our difficulty. Do we remember He delivered even Peter? He can deliver us. It must be His angel. But Peter continued to knock, and I won't knock again for you people. He continued to pound on that door. Is anybody going to let me in? And when they saw him, when they finally had the nerve to open the door, when they prayed with expectation and actually saw the deliverance, they were astonished. Wow. Has God blown off your socks? Has He done things in your life that you never thought were possible? Has He provided for you in ways that you never dreamed? Has He brought healing to you in ways you've never dreamed? Has He brought restoration to your family, to individuals? Has He done great things for you? Well, He was the God of that. And He will be the God of your struggles tomorrow. He is the God of your victories. He is your God. He has separated you, and He has called you forth as His ambassadors to share His good news, to be an encouragement to this world. No, everything will not work out perfectly according to our flesh. No, we'll probably still have struggles, but we will be able to endure each and every situation in and through Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean we're not going to ever have a problem. It means that we can go through the problems with Him. There is victory in Christ. Peter is standing there, and they're blown away. They're astonished. And He just tells them, shh, shh, settle down. I want you to do something right away. I want you to go share with James, the brother of Jesus, that I am still alive. He wants them to share that Herod did not win. Herod dies soon after this. Herod did not win. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we are more than conquerors through Him who has loved us. Remember this. Continue to pray. Continue to encourage one another. Lift one another in prayer. And I honestly say, pray with expectation. Father, we thank You. We thank You for Your answered prayer. Though it may not be in my way, we know every answer is a good answer in You. Father, may Your will be done, what You want to be done. And remember this, even when we deal with the struggle of health or different issues, maybe we all won't be healed on this side of earth, but there is the greatest healing in and through Jesus Christ, where we will receive new bodies and a new life. May He be praised, may we be encouraged, and may we live every day to its fullest, to glorify God. For Jesus' name's sake. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to You today thanking and praising You for this account, where even in this situation, the body comes together and You hearken. Not because You have to, Father. Not that You have to obey our prayers, but that You are such a gracious Father that You are willing. We pray that You would glorify Yourself in our lives. We pray that You would turn each and every one of us into great, mighty prayer warriors. That, Father, we would pray for one another, pray for our families, and yes, Father, even ask Your will in our lives. May everything we say and do bring you honor and glory. We ask this all in Christ's name. Now, the Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.